John chapter 2, verse 1. The third day, there was a marriage at Cana in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Everybody say, the mother of Jesus was there.
The mother of Jesus
was there. That's a mama. She's a mama. Today's mama's day. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. They got an invitation. And when they wanted wine, so they were there, and they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. In other words, that's not my business. His mother said unto the servants, whatever he says unto you to do, think about it. Oh, I was at your house. That's what you're doing. I'm sorry, that's not. Lighten up. I'm okay. I'm not mad. I'm just trying to wake you up. That's all I'm trying to do is wake you up. His mother said unto the servants, whatever he says unto you to do,
do it.
Do it.
Do it.
Nike borrowed that from Mary. Do it. Amen. And you know the story. There were 6 water pots there. They say probably 30 gallons each. That's a big pot. And he said to them, fill the water pots with water. And of course, they did it. And he said, then draw out and take it to the governor of the feast. And then that's the man in charge of the, I guess he had Teresa's position. He's in charge of the of the wedding reception. And so they took it to Teresa. She drank of it and said, man, this is the best I've had since I was drinking in my drinking days. So Jesus turned the water into wine. That's a miracle. Say it out loud, that's a miracle. I like that. I'm interested in miracles. I think there's 2 reasons I'm interested in miracles. One's because I need them. Well, are you in that much disobedience you need them? You don't just need miracles because you're in disobedience. Sometimes you need them because you're in obedience. Sometimes you need them. This miracle was needed just because in the ordinary course of nature, something came up that they didn't have the resources for. And so, you know, a miracle was needed and God was willing and able and ready. He didn't complain. He didn't criticize them for not planning ahead right. You knew how many guests were on the list. You should have planned. Jesus never said anything like that. Praise the Lord. So we're going to talk about miracles. How to receive your miracle this morning. How many of you know Mary was involved in this? She was Jesus' mother. And if you read her story throughout the Gospels, she was a miracle mama. We ought to listen to her. She knew something about miracles. She's the greatest of miracle mamas.
Yes, she is.
Because she received the Messiah into the earth. She got the Messiah into the earth through her understanding of how miracles work. So when she said, whatever he says to you to do, do it, we better listen. Amen. She's a miracle mama. And you've heard of motor mamas and different kind of mamas. You know, isn't that right? But the best mamas are miracle mamas.
Yes.
Let me tell you single folks, you single young guys, something that you want. You might not know it right now, but you want a miracle wife.
Yes.
You want a miracle mama, not your mama, but you know what I mean, mama.
Yes.
Mama's just generic for female. You want a miracle mama, not a flesh pot.
Yes. Yes.
What? I didn't know. That's not in the Bible. Oh, yes, it is.
Yeah.
Bible said they complained when they got delivered from Egypt. And they said, we wish we was back there with, we sat by the flesh pots. Anyway, some of you will get it later. So everybody say, we got miracle mamas in the house today. Hallelujah. Can any of you identify yourself, miracle mamas? Yes. Hallelujah. That's just somebody who gets Bible results because they do what he said do.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. When it comes to miracles, Mary is sort of somebody we ought to listen to, because she's the one that got Jesus into the earth, and then she helped assist him into what he was born for. This is her getting her son into the miracle ministry that he was born for. He had been a carpenter all those years, but that was only preparation for what he's really born for. Amen. So we should probably listen to her, right? And so not every miracle in the Bible was the result of a miracle mama, but we do see some pretty powerful miracle mamas in the Bible. Isn't that right? You can think of some. You remember Elizabeth, her cousin, was a miracle mama. You can think of Esther. You can think of Samuel's mother. You can think of Rahab. She's a miracle mama. Isn't that right? You can think of people in the Old Testament. You can think of Timothy's mother and grandmother. You can think of, in the Old Testament, you can think of the lady that was in debt. Remember, her husband died. She's in debt. She went to the prophet and said, you know, I'm in debt. And he said, well, here, go get some vessels. Don't borrow a few. Go take them in your house. And whatever you got, start pouring the oil into those vessels. And the Bible says she did what the instructions were. She went and did. Whatever he said do, she did it. And she got herself a miracle. Then we've got a lady, the rich woman of Shunem, the Bible talks about her. And she got a miracle of her son being raised from the dead, because she did what the word of the Lord was to her. And you could go on and on. You know many of those stories. Each of those stories teach us something. That each of those ladies are preaching to us. Amen. I don't believe in women preachers. Well, then just go your way and do without. I married a miracle mama. I married one. There's no truer statement. I don't know who said it, but she's a tenacious woman of faith. The devil will jump on her sometimes and she'll get him off. She'll kick him off like a horse kicking a guy off the back. Just bam. You ever seen those videos? Some of you need to get a life. It's just fun watching somebody else hurt. Not me, but somebody else, you know. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, the bottom line is, anybody can cooperate with God in a miracle like you know, Mary or some of these ladies we're talking about. But let's look at some of this, because miracles are to be a part of this last day era. Signs, wonders, and miracles. You know what wonders are? They're things that make people wonder. That there's no natural explanation for that. We told you last Sunday, was it? That Brother Travis was, he really can't figure out how he made it through a car that was coming through an intersection, you know, didn't see the stop sign. And he really thinks that he went straight through the car. That's a miracle. Well, explain that. You don't have to. Listen, you don't have to have everything. It's supernatural. Super. It's not natural. Well, I don't understand that. Well, exactly. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So it's too high for you to really figure out. If God explained it to you, you'd still go, huh? You ever seen a dog do that? If God explained to you, okay, here's what happened, how I dematerialized that car and sent materiality right through you'd go, huh? But how many of you know you don't need to understand everything to get it? You got eternity to understand how God does what he does. I don't need to figure it all out. I don't even know how to run a microwave. But I've heated food in my microwave before, long time ago. Amen. Some of you are still wondering if you wanted to be in church this morning. Miracles are an earmark of this era. Glory to God. God wants to do some things exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. That makes the whole state go, huh? That dog, when he does that, he's trying to figure that out. You ever seen that? That's what he wants to do to the whole world. Make them, they don't understand how that happened. Something will call to their heart, though, about it. and draw them into the things of God. Hallelujah. So I'm wanting more of this. So the way you get more of it is you preach it. You just keep talking about it. Just keep talking about it. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. God wants us to live a supernatural life. If God doesn't have a supernatural life for us, if it's just natural, then what are we going to have different than the world? This God wants us to be a living epistle known and read of all men. Look at our lives and go, whew, whew. They're not sure. Right? So that's what we want to get into and learn how to receive. And there are not just, you know, we kind of have the idea. I'll be honest with you. I sort of used to have the idea that, you know, if somebody needs a miracle, you know, it's because they messed up somewhere, messed up their life. Well, we've all done that. We know that. But it's not, we don't need the miracle power of God flowing in our life just because of those kind of things. We just said that. And, you know, you can think of the children of Israel being led by that cloud, being led right up to the edge of the Red Sea. Remember, they were delivered from Egypt's bondage? They were led right up to the edge of the Red Sea. They were led into an impossible situation where they needed a miracle. There's no other way to get out of this but a miracle. And it wasn't because they were in disobedience. Wasn't because they did their own thing or chose to go a different direction. They were going exactly where God led them to. And into a situation where they needed a miracle. So it's not always because we've messed up that we need a miracle. It's sometimes because we're following the Spirit. He'll lead you into needs. Did you know that? You know why? Because He wants to, by His power, bust that thing. And you know what God told Israel? He said, say hello, or actually say goodbye to the Egyptians. Because after this, you will see them again no more.
No more. That's right.
So sometimes He'll lead you into a need in order to destroy it so it can no more be in your life. No more. No more. No more. No more. Praise God. Praise God. So sometimes they're just needed because you were led of the Spirit. Sometimes they just come up in life. You didn't do anything wrong. It wasn't because you did anything, you know, it's just a need arose. And God has these things for you in abundance. Oral Roberts made the statement, Richard Roberts quoted, he said, miracles are either coming your way or passing you by every single day. Now, that doesn't mean it's huge like the splitting of the Red Sea, but how many of you know just a situation where you didn't know what to do and God showed you what to do and something happened to meet the need? That's God's power. Hallelujah. We ought to not miss those things. We ought to discern when God did that and not say, well, you know, it's sort of a coincidence. We ought to say, glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. You ought to be able to recognize Him in the little things too. Praise the Lord. So God, if you follow Him, you're going to be brought to the place you need a miracle. Don't think if I follow Him, you know, and I won't ever have any need of any of these things. No, you're going to need them probably more. But God wants to do things in your life in such a way that all the glory goes to Him. Not you saying, well, you know, I was just... Yeah, I got an education and I learned all this and all that. Nothing wrong with all that, but you got to, there's going to be, even with all your education, there's going to be things where you cannot make it work. You cannot make it work. Amen. So you're going to be led right up into a place you need a miracle, but when you get there, don't struggle. Amen. What do I mean, don't struggle? I mean, just keep doing what you did to get you where you are. Amen. I said amen. Amen. Just keep following and doing what He says do. I like that, don't you? Do the same thing that brought you into that place of need and walk by faith and get right on through it. So keep moving. In other words, don't stop because you come to an impossible situation. Don't stop because, well, I was going to do that because the Lord led me, but listen, it's not possible. Don't stop at the edge of impossibilities. Jesus was in prayer. He said to the disciples, go to the other side. They got in the middle of the lake and there was a storm and they couldn't, you know, they were having trouble getting there. And so he came to them in the middle of the night walking on the water. Think about that. He's up in the mountain praying. He must have got done praying. He came down to the edge of the water and he's like, well, the disciples are gone. Woo, way out there. Woo. Just kept on walking.
Come on now.
Hallelujah. He didn't stop because he needed a miracle. Or I can't.
Come on now.
He kept on going. That's what makes him get miracles and makes others not get miracles. Because they stop at the edge of impossible situations. We're up against some impossible things right now, and I'm just giddy about it. You're not fretting? No, I'm giddy. We're being set up. Set up. Set up. Hallelujah. Whew. So let's go back to John's gospel here. In this story, this is the story of the first miracle Jesus did, you know, in his earthly ministry. People show videos or whatever, movies, and they show him as a 12-year-old boy throwing a rock up in the air and it turns into a bird. That's not true. The Bible said this is the first miracle that he did. He didn't start working miracles until the Holy Ghost came upon him. He was the Son of God before that, born of a virgin and all of that, but he didn't start working miracles until the Holy Ghost came on him. That's scriptural. That's very scriptural. But here's what I want you to see. In this first of miracles, we can learn how to cooperate with God for our miracle.
Yes.
Anybody need a miracle?
Yes.
Hallelujah. So he said something, or Jesus, I mean, excuse me, Mary said something to Jesus about this situation. And he just sort of brushes her aside.
Yeah.
But she didn't stop.
That's right.
Because she's a miracle mama.
Yeah.
And so she said, turned around and said to the servants, whatever he says to you to do, do that.
Yeah.
Do that.
Yeah. Amen.
What made her say that? There must have been a pattern in his life already. Before this, that he was already doing what he said over and over later that he was doing. Whatever I hear my Father say, that's what I say. Whatever I see my Father do, that's what I do. That didn't start the day that the Holy Ghost came on him. That didn't start that day. It started way back as a young boy. He started hearing his Father and doing what his Father said. Not talking about Joseph. I'm talking about his Father God. And she had watched him do that and watched him grow spiritually because of that. And she knew that he always did what he heard his Father say. And now she's aware that he's in that transition time between carpenter and miracle worker. And she knows the Holy Ghost has just come upon him. She knows it's time. And miracle mamas. I'm talking to miracle mamas. One of the best things you can do, Miracle Mama, is help your children get into the place God has for them in life. Now, I'm not saying mamas, you know, somebody could hear that and think I'm saying, well, you know, the place for mamas is in the home and cooking the food. I'm not saying that. I'm simply saying that's the first place you ought to use your faith for the miracles is get your children into God's plan. I'm not trying to, you know, pigeonhole moms into some home life that they have something else on their life to grace the grace to do other things.
Right.
I'm just simply saying, don't neglect the home, neglect the children in order to be a miracle worker out here in the body of Christ.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. That's what Mary did. Do you know that many of the miracle mamas in the Bible, you know who they are now? I mean, we're just talking about some of them. You look at their story, and their story is their faith to get the supernatural was for their child to get into the plan of God, which changed the whole generation. Samuel's mother. She used her faith and got her child into the plan of God, which changed the whole generation. Isn't that right?
That's true.
And there's many stories like that in the Bible. So I'm not saying, you know, I'm not trying to pigeonhole women, you know, to be just, you know, in the house or something. But I'm simply saying, don't neglect this area of your faith.
Right.
Are you with me? Hallelujah. So Mary, her son is sort of brushing her off, but she used her faith to get him into that. She turned to the servants and said, whatever he says, you do that. Whatever he says for you to do, do that. Put a demand on him. Now, listen to the way she, really, think about this. She's turning from asking him to do something to turning to somebody and saying, just whatever he says, you do it.
That's right.
So that's in some sense of the word, it's turning from prayer to action.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
He's going to get in this flow.
Yes.
He's going to get in this flow.
Yes.
And here's how we're, and we've been praying.
Yes.
But now it's time to turn from prayer to action.
Yes, sir.
How many of you know you can pray, and God tell you to do something, and you keep pray, and nothing will happen until prayer turns to action. Whatever he says to pray about, no, whatever he says you to do, do it. I'm ready to shake up Spirit of Faith Family Church. Hallelujah. She's pulling him out of what, out into what he's born for. Whoa. She's not taking no for an answer. Miracle mamas don't take no for an answer. Amen. Oh, glory to God. That's perhaps one of the greatest things miracle mamas do is they spur their seed on to get into the plan of God that changes the directions of many things many times. Hallelujah. 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 Don't say no to a miracle mama. Miracle mamas don't let their children say no to the plan of God. Say, no, you're going to do the plan of God. It's the best plan. God's got a good plan for you. It's going to be abundant and blessed. Amen. I mean, the difference between, you know, you've heard of mama grizzlies and how mama grizzlies protect their cubs. Right? Well, you know what the difference between a miracle mama and a mama grizzly is? Lipstick. That's right. Don't mess with a miracle mama. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God, praise God. Whatever he says to you to do, do it. Hallelujah. So, miracle mama Mary, she's believing for miracles, and it looked like no miracles are going to happen. But she didn't go by what it appeared like. She just turned and said, whatever he says, you do it. Come on, she didn't take no for an answer. Miracle mamas don't take no for an answer. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Whatever he says to you to do, do it. Whatever he says to you to do, do it. Whatever he says to you to do, do it. Don't think about it, do it. Don't pray about it, do it. Don't ask somebody else whether you should do it, do it. Action, action, action. That's how things happen. Some people have been praying about starting a business for 20 years. Well, I'll stay off of that. Too many people get convicted. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But what he said doesn't make any sense. It's not supposed to make sense. It's supposed to make faith. See, some of you are quoting at yourself now. Hopefully you're dreaming about it. Say it out loud. It's not supposed to make faith. It's supposed to make faith. So it's not supposed, what'd I say? It's not supposed to make. Not supposed to make sense. Not supposed to make sense. Second mistake I made since I was born. The thing about miracles is, if you look up the definition of miracles and so forth, it'll say something like a divine intervention or a supernatural intervention in the ordinary course of things.
Yeah.
Or the ordinary course of nature. We use the word supernatural all the time.
Yep.
The natural is nature.
That's right.
The normal way things normally happen. The normal way things normally happen, if you want grape juice, is you got to plant grapes, fertilize them, trim them, grow them, water them, whatever, if there's no water. And you got to get them big enough to produce grapes. Then you got to pick the grapes. Then you got to smash them. And then you got to let them ferment and all that. What's that, a few years, you know?
9 years.
It takes time. That's the natural. But this is supernatural. This is bypassing natural processes. That's the miracle. We've been talking about the miracle of acceleration. This is the miracle of acceleration. There's a lot of that working in this congregation right now. I encourage you to tap into it. Just tap into it. Praise the Lord. So they not only bypass natural processes, miracles will accelerate things to where they don't take as long as they normally take. I'm just giddy about some things we're getting into right now because I know it's not going to take as long as it used to take. Amen. Hallelujah. Your mind cannot calculate how God does miracles. So don't limit him by your mind. You know what I'm talking about? If you can't figure it out, that's just because your natural mind is limited. He said, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Yes. Glory to God. This is the reason some people doubt. Because they're bound by their own thinking. If it's not in agreement or in accordance with the natural way things happen, they cannot believe anything could be any different than the natural. But the Bible is a supernatural book. It tells about supernatural things from the beginning to the end. If you don't believe in the supernatural, you don't believe in the Bible. That's just the whole story of the Bible. Your Savior got into the earth supernaturally. And you're born supernaturally by the Spirit of God, meaning, I'm talking about the new birth, born supernaturally. I know me. We used to be dirty, rotten, lying, thieving, sinners.
Totally.
Right?
Yep.
These are great. How about over here? I say it used to be. But now God's changed us. We have a new nature. We love the brethren and we love the things of God. We love the fellowship of the believers. And something's different about you. Something changed. That's not natural. You used to be mean and ugly. Right? Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to endure this. This is different up here. But if you don't understand how he does what he does, just mark this down. You don't have to understand how he does what he does. You just have to know, I'm going to just do whatever he says do. That's all you got to know. But how? No, you got out of your department. Amen. You just do your part. Hallelujah. You're going to wear your brain down to a nub trying to figure out how. Just a little nub on the end of your brain stem. You know what I'm talking about? How? Get out of the head. Get out of the head. This is the biggest issue when it comes to the supernatural. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's just think of some stories. You remember the prophet told the widow woman to make a little cake for him first? Look at me. That's one of these.
Right?
That doesn't make sense to the natural mind. The news would love that too. Preacher steals food out of starving baby's mouth. That's a lie. He didn't steal food. He brought the miraculous supply for, they say, 9 months to a year. Amen. Didn't make sense to the natural mind, but especially if you're starving, that's the last thing you want to do. But see, all it's going to do, if it didn't work, which it always works, but if it didn't work, all it's going to do is speed up your pain. I mean, shorten the time that your pain's going to last. I don't know. Some people think different than I do. It's just weird. Amen. So how about Elijah, whenever he said that, he spoke to her, but he didn't just say that because he's a preacher or wanted something to eat. He said it because God had spoke to him and said, go over to Zarephath, I'd commanded a widow woman over there to sustain thee.
Yes.
God had spoke to him.
Yes. Sure did.
I know that not everybody that say God has spoke to them, God actually spoke to them, but God had spoke to him here.
Yes.
And so he went over there and he saw the lady and he called her to go get him some water. And so she did. And then he said, hey, by the way, make me a little cake so I can eat. Then there'll be enough for you and your seed. She said, well, I've only got meal for one cake. And he said, go and do because the barrel of meal will not fail and so forth and so on. You know that story. But notice God had said to him back before he got there, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee.
Yeah. Yeah.
He said he had talked to somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
He said, I have commanded, you ought to go back and read that story, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. He had talked to her. He had talked to her. We got there and met her, and she has no idea that God talked to her. Doesn't seem like God talked to her. Doesn't seem like she knew God had said anything. Did God lie?
No.
God said he had talked to her. Come on, do you think you got to think about things? He said he had talked to her, but he got there and she had no clue that he had talked to her. What do we know then? Then if God's word is true, which it is, then he had talked to her, but she had dismissed it. Or she didn't listen to it. It didn't make sense. Didn't make sense. Can't figure it out.
This is good. That's good.
Why would I do that? That's exactly the opposite of what I should do. So says the natural mind. Anybody interested in something more than a natural life? I think maybe we ought to start there with some people. They're just not interested in anything more than the natural life. Minister's job is to get people hungry for something beyond natural living. Make people want more in God than what they have. Nobody can make anybody want anything or be interested in anything. But we ought to be... Can I just chuck the corn a little bit? I think some people are not interested because they really don't want to have to walk by faith. Because every time God talks, it means you walk by faith. It doesn't make sense. Now, I'm not saying just live foolishly without making, you know, everything you do is just doesn't make any sense. Use common sense until God says something that doesn't make sense. Right? And then you just say, okay, mind, I'm getting ready to do something you don't understand. And you're going to fight me on this, but you just come along for the ride. And when we get to the other side, you're going to be really glad you came along. You got to live that way. Over and over again, if God speaks, yes. The answer is yes. Okay, we're going to do that. And the mind says, ah! You say, shut up. God said. So he must have talked to that widow woman, but it didn't make sense, so she kicked it out. Well, God will help us in those situations. Isn't that good? God will help us in those situations. That's what church is all about. Amen. It's a place where we sit there and we're like, I remember God said that. Because we're in a corporate anointing and the things of the Spirit come back. Isn't that right? Whew, glory. So because she responded to the Spirit of God, wasn't just responded to a man, this is God speaking. Not everything man says is God speaking. But you and I have got to learn to recognize when it's a man talking and when it's the Holy Ghost talking. Because he'll talk directly to our hearts. Don't misunderstand me. But sometimes he'll talk through people.
Yes.
Not all the time. Not everything that people say. I remember, for example, one time the Lord had put it in my spirit. It was very clear. I remember we were just on this building. The church just on this building. But then remember these other buildings back here came for sale. Actually, they had been repossessed by the bank. And the bank owned them, and the bank wanted to get them off their books by the end of the year. And the banker put a card, or I guess the secretary brought in a card, maybe Christine or somebody, and put it on my desk so that when I came in the next day, the card was there. They said, call, we'd like to talk to you and see if you're interested in these buildings. Well, I had the witness about them.
Yeah.
But I had my mind made up. I don't want to be in this part of town any longer. See what I'm talking about?
Yes. Yep.
It's the classic battle between here and here.
Yes.
So, blah, 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 blah. I think I threw it away. And we went out to a meeting in California, and I'll never forget it. The meeting hadn't even started yet. But Dr. Dufresne called and said, "Hey, you in town?" I said, yes, sir. He said, "Well, we're going to lunch, so-and-so, meet us over here, and I think 11:30 or something like that. That means be there at 11 o'clock. You just got to know that. Doctor says 11:30, that means 11 o'clock. Even if the restaurant's not open, you stand outside at 11 o'clock. He was early to everything. And so we went, and he said, and we sat down, and I sat down right across the table from him, and he got his fork. He sat down, he grabbed his fork, he went down like this. He said, "So what are you going to do about those buildings on, you know, that right beside you? What are you going to do about those? Are you going to buy them or not?" I'm like, I'm caught. People say, "Oh Lord, I want to be around the prophet." Oh, you do, huh? So I said, "Dr. Dufresne, I wasn't planning on doing anything about those buildings." He said, "Well, you know that God doesn't lead people in the New Testament through the office of the prophet." I said, "Yeah." He said, "But you ought to at least pray about it."
That's right.
I said, "Dr. Dufresne, I don't even need to pray about it. I wasn't planning on doing anything, but I don't even need. I already know in my spirit what I'm supposed to do." See, he wasn't directing me. He's just helping me with something I already knew. No minister is to direct people's lives, other than give them the general counsel of God's word, but it's their decision whether they do it. But when it comes to the specifics, marry this person, buy that car, don't wear that color. Some people are weird. I don't even want that much responsibility. But the ministers aren't supposed to direct people's lives. They're supposed to, but God will use them to help them recognize what's in their own heart. I appreciate people who know the Holy Ghost. See, they got the Holy Spirit just like I've got the Holy Spirit, and it's the same Spirit. And if he's saying something to me, sometimes others, God will, you know, they'll know it. It's like a few of you, whenever you eventually started dating the right person, you're all excited about it, and you're going to everybody, and they go, "Well, we've known that for a long time." That's the problem with going to a Holy Ghost church. Some people don't like that. They'd rather hide. Come on, get happy about the service this morning. Whatever, we're staying on this statement. Whatever he says do, do it. That means and includes even when it's not convenient. Amen. Praise God. Even when it's not convenient. Isn't that right? Let me tell you something that's not convenient. Missing a miracle. That's not convenient. That's hard.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Well, he's not saying anything to me. I'm in a situation, but he's not saying anything to me. Well, that's probably because you're only looking to your mind. You know what I mean by that? I guarantee you, if you need a miracle, the Holy Ghost is giving you a sense of what you need to do. It might not be a voice. It might just be a knowing. It's almost alarming to me as a pastor how many people know things and don't do it. I don't say that to put anybody down. I'm really not just talking about this congregation. I'm talking about people that I meet all the time in the body of Christ. They're not trained to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Well, if I did that, what about this and what about this and what about my family? What would they think? Oh, so you're back in your head again. Well, I'm just, I don't know. It's been a little different the last couple of services. The Holy Spirit is giving you a sense of what you need to do. You just have to get your mind quiet. And because your mind is loud, or it can be loud, until you quiet it. It's gonna scream at you. Well, if you did that, blah, 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 and it's gonna go down some rabbit trail and try to talk you out of it. Amen. But since the peace of God is like, remember the Old Testament term, a still small voice, or even just not even a voice, just an inner knowing, and it's not that loud. People pay attention to the loudest voice instead of the right voice. The loud, screaming mind thoughts that are harassing them. Amen. This is just good pastoral help this morning. Amen. You know that when those servants filled those water pots, you know they were doing it ignoring their head. Especially the one he said, take the cup over there to give it to the governor of the feast.
Yeah.
Oh man, I'm going to get fired now for sure, you know. Kicked out of helps ministry, you know. What are you bringing me water for? That's right. Their head. Listen, their head will talk to you.
Yeah.
Well, I remember somebody came to me in healing school one day and they said, we were teaching them about how to receive their healing and walk by faith. And they said, after service, I must be doing something wrong. I said, what do you mean? They said, well, ever since I started believing that Jesus took this infirmity and bore my sicknesses and I was healed and I am now, therefore I believe I receive it. They said, I have had bombarding thoughts against my mind. So I must be doing something wrong. I said, welcome to Faith 101.
Thank you.
Yeah.
This is par for the course.
Yes.
You're doing something and your head is saying, that doesn't make sense, stop. And people will help with that. They'll jump in with the devil and agree with him. Now you've gone off your rocker. What the Bible calls faith, people say, is off your rocker. Well, praise the Lord. So, I dare say that any Christian who has a need, the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Spirit is in all Christians. There's the new birth and then the filling of the Holy Spirit. But the new birth, the Holy Spirit comes into all believers.
That's right.
And I dare say, because he's the Bible says his spirit bears witness with our spirits. Because that's true, and it's not true because we believe it, it's just true.
Right.
Whether we believe it or not is whether we receive it or not. But it's true that he's in there on the job.
Yeah,
yes.
He is.
Yes, he is.
He's in there on the job.
Yes, he is.
And so I dare say that any believer who's in a situation of life where they need an answer, the Holy Ghost is already in there giving them that answer.
Yeah.
Or the Bible's not true. Because
right.
He said his spirit bears witness with our spirit.
Yes.
Now, why don't people listen? Well, there's several reasons, because they're not trained to, and they're trained, their head is more dominant. But the second reason can be, they just don't like the answer. That wasn't the answer that they wanted it to be. I have run into this, and I'm not mad, I'm just simply telling you. You know, it's other people's lives, what they do is their business and so forth. But I have watched this over and over and over again. Over and over and over again. They just don't want that to be the answer. Well, it wasn't the way I thought.
Yeah.
Well, what does that have to do with it?
Right.
Naaman in the Old Testament almost missed his healing because he had planned out how it was going to be.
Yes. Yes, he did.
Some people are getting help this morning. I'm a people. I'm getting help this morning. I'm preaching my own conviction. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Wasn't the way. See, nothing I'm doing was the way I planned it to be.
Right.
Dear God, no. But that doesn't matter. We call him Lord.
Right.
He says, this is where you belong. This is where I want you. And I want you to be there all the time. Oh. Well, what about my job and my schedule and my relatives and what they think? And mama's tears are over there on the altar. And the head just... What's that got to do with it? I've never taken those thoughts to the Lord. And he said, oh, that's right. I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Listen, this is tight, but it's right. It is so right. People don't want the answer to be what the answer is. Naaman, remember, he captured some in a raid into Israel. He captured some people, and one of them was a little maid, and he took her into his house to be his housekeeper or whatever, clean the house or whatever. And one day he's sick. I guess he got leprosy, if I remember. Yeah, it was leprosy. And the maid said, listen, I wish, you know, if you're over in Israel, there's a man of God over there that has a healing ministry. And he could minister to you.
Yes.
And he was interested in that. He had enough, I guess, hunger for God or whatever that he was interested in. So he came over. She must have maybe said, I don't know why he thought that he was going to minister a certain way. But maybe she talked about him laying on hands or something. But he thought it was going to be him coming out and laying hands on him and praying and stuff. But when he got there, he pulled up and the servant, Elijah just sent the servant out.
Yeah.
And didn't even come out.
Yeah.
And said, I'm here to see the prophet. Oh, yeah, he's in the house. But can you tell him I'm here? Oh, yeah, he knows you're here. He sent me out to give you a message.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, he's not going to come out? No.
Nope.
No, he's
nope.
He's eating. I'm an important dignitary. Yeah, he said so. Yeah, he said so. He told me that. Well, I came for him to minister to me.
Yeah.
Oh, he told me what to do about that, too.
Yeah.
Picking his teeth, he's eating, too. This is a dignitary being addressed by a little servant guy.
Yeah.
Picking his teeth. Oh, he told me what to do about that. He told me what to do about that. He said, tell you, go dip in the River Jordan 7 times.
Yeah.
And you'll be healed.
Yeah.
Remember what he said? He got mad.
He got mad.
He did get mad.
Squealed his chariot wheels. He's out of there. Mad. Okay, I'm a dignitary. I'm used to, I'm an important person. When I show up, people, they say, yes, sir. And they just salute and they line up to shake my hand and get my autograph. And I'm a big deal.
Yeah.
And the prophet won't even come out. Yeah, that's because he's killing more than one bird with a stone.
Yes.
He's killing leprosy, and he's killing pride.
Right.
That's
yes.
Right. Come on.
So he,
yeah.
he squeals the wheels. He's out of there mad. You know, when dignitaries are mad, nobody talks. So it's quiet. They're going down the road. Finally, he cooled off a little bit and said, surely I thought. I thought he would come. Remember what he said? I thought he'd come out and he would strike his hand over the place. That's laying on hands. And I thought he would call in the name of his God. That's prayer. And, you know, I thought that's what got him. That's, he almost missed the miracles because he thought too much. I don't think much about stuff. The other day I started thinking about Kansas City back, Kansas City back. I'm like, I'm not going to think about it. No, I can't think about that. I asked the Lord again. Are you sure it's me? Somebody else? Surely it's somebody else. Crickets. I can hear the crickets outside and the hoot owls. They're out there going, whoo. And then after the whoo, they go, you. I'm like, God, no. I'm sincerely asking God to do it, give it to somebody else. Anyway, so I don't think much about stuff. That's why we continually have the miraculous. Because God's got to work a miracle. Anyway, so he cooled off, and eventually he said, one of his servants eventually got bold enough, said, you know, well, if he'd have told you to do something hard, you'd have probably done it. No response. They went another 3 miles. Act like he didn't even hear it. And then eventually he turned to another servant, not him, but he turned to another one and said, you know, if it had been hard, we'd probably done it, right? That's what I thought, too. Yeah, that's what I thought, too. Good idea, Naaman. Let's just do it anyway. Just see. He went down and did it, and he was healed.
Yes.
Yep. Amen. He did not want that to be the answer. You remember what he said? He said, there are rivers in Damascus that are cleaner than that old Jordan River.
Yeah.
I got to get mud between my toes and... He's thinking. Come on, I'm trying to quit. And he almost missed the miracle. And it's not convenient. Maybe they had to take a side road and go down a dusty road and get all dusty for 17 miles. I don't know. I don't know where it was, but you know what I'm talking about? It's just not convenient. It's out of the way. I got to get mud between my toes. I'm mad because he didn't come out and even say hi. Didn't ask for my autograph.
Sure did.
Didn't even invite me in for lunch. Mad. Yeah, rude. Disrespectful. Where's the honor? He almost missed it. It wasn't the way he wanted it to be. Oh, my. That's a big deal. Say that's a big deal. Whatever. That word, whatsoever, actually is the word. Whatsoever he says. Whatever he says do. Not whatever your mind says do. Not what your checkbook says do. Not what the economy says to do. Not what your relatives say to do. Whatever he says do, do it. Everybody, excluding relatives, have a bold opinion of all that we should do. And they speak it. Amen. A lot of people are doing in life exactly what their checkbook tells them to do. No more, no less. Doesn't matter what God says do. Does the checkbook say we can do it? You ought to put up an altar and put your checkbook out there and bow down to it every day and said, "Oh, checkbook, you're my God." I'm just mean on unbelief today. I'm just telling you.
Come on.
Listen, you obey what he says to do and the checkbook will fill up. You can stand there and say, "Now you get there. Money, you get there." Hallelujah. 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 It's not what your salary says do. It's what he says do. Now, people hear that and they get off and they say, it just doesn't matter what anybody says. Well, there is some truth to that. It shouldn't matter what anybody says. But there are people that God will speak through. Remember? You can see that in the Bible. At times, God speaks to people through people. But you and I's job is not to... You and I's job is to recognize when that's God and when that's not. I eventually started recognizing that with Dr. Dufresne. I knew when it was God and I knew when it was just Dr. Dufresne. I'm not saying he was trying to tell me to do something. I'm just saying he would talk about certain things and I'd do, well, he's just talking. Not being disrespectful, I just knew it wasn't God. But when like whenever I sat down and he said, what you going to do about those buildings? This isn't Dr. Dufresne. Because I'm sitting there with the wind blowing me back in my chair, you know, just... You getting anything out of this?
Yes,
here's the statement. God will involve you in your miracle. He'll give you something to do. We see it all through the Bible. We've just told some of these stories. The miracle at Cana, there was something they had to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you need a miracle, God will involve you in it. People want God to just do something out here in their life without their involvement. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. That should make you glad. Why on earth would that be that way, Pastor Jay? Because he needs permission to move in you and my life. He will not. God is not like demons where they just try to force things into our lives. He's a perfect gentleman. God is a perfect gentleman. You need to know that about him. Intervention or to start moving in our life apart from our invitation is just interfering in what we want.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. That's the way God is.
Yes.
You know that?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So if we don't want him in our lives, he won't force his way in.
Yes.
He might try to woo us to invite him, but it's like in the Old Testament, or in the book of Revelation, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He didn't say, behold, I come and beat the door down. Well, you just need this anyway. It's good for you. Boom! That's bring it into your life. Huh? Everybody's understanding this morning, right? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, one of the gifts of the Spirit is working of miracles. Not the happening of miracles. It's the working. That means man has a part in it. They have something to do.
Yes.
We got to get out of the mentality. It's just going to fall on us. It is not just going to fall on us. He'll say, do this. And we do it. And the power falls on it.
Amen.
His power falls on what we act on, what we do. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. You still glad you came this morning?
Yes, sir.
Well, if it's God, why doesn't he just do it? Because he doesn't do anything apart from man. The Bible says we're laborers together with God. He won't just work in a man's life without our permission. Amen. He waits for an invitation. When we invite him, whenever he says do this and we do that, that's his invitation. That's his invitation. And he will move on that invitation. He will show up in his power. Hallelujah. I like God, don't you? He'll show up in his manifest power. His power is always everywhere all the time, but he'll show up in his manifest power. Religion doesn't like this, what I'm preaching this morning. Come on now. Because it wants to put everything all off on God. That is unscriptural. Scriptural. It's just not right. We don't see it in the Bible. God always involved man. When they got up to the Red Sea, we just talked about that. When we got up to the Red Sea, Moses is praying to God. God, we need this. And he said, stop praying. He said, stretch out your rod. In other words, you got to do something. Don't talk to me about doing something. You do something. And here's what to do. And he did it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. When he did that, the power of God manifested. And when he responded, then that religion doesn't like that. Amen. There's no scripture. There's nothing scriptural about that train of thought that God just does things. People don't like that because they like to go someplace where they just talk about God's all sovereign. He's running everything. He's doing everything. That's not true. He's not. Amen. I'm almost done. Hallelujah. I don't know if you'll beat the Baptist to lunch for the mother's law, but hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's not asking for our involvement to make it hard on us. He's asking for our involvement to give him permission. Permission. That's because really we have authority in our lives to say yes or no to God or the devil. It's our choice. And when we respond, we say, I'm talking about what he tells us to do. That's us saying yes to God. Hallelujah. Well, when people say, I don't know why God didn't do that. Well, it's because you didn't open the door to him. You got to open the door to him. He won't kick the door down. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We could go over many, many, many stories, but let's all stand. I'll say this as you stand. Miracles are not all instantaneous. Some of them require a successive series of steps. I just had it in my heart to say this before we go. It's a little like Peter walking on the water. Jesus said, come. You remember? And he got down out of the boat and he started walking on the water. But it wasn't just one step to get him to where God wanted him. It was a series of steps. Amen. Do you know some miracles are a progressive miracle? They're not all instantaneous. Or they are worked over a period of time. Some. There's all kinds, but there's this kind we need to understand. So what does that mean? That means if we want to continually walk in the miraculous, that means keep doing what he said. Keep doing what he said. And as you do that, then he'll say something else. Do that and keep doing what he said. Just keep doing what he said. And as you do that, you'll get step by step into what God has for your life. So we need to think in those terms, right? Get that mindset about some of this. Many, they've received a miracle, but they've lost their miracle like Peter because they've stopped taking steps. Remember Peter lost his miracle? It was in progress and he had it going, but he lost it. Well, I just believe if it's God, you won't lose it. Well, you believe wrong. Peter lost his. The Bible says, hold fast what you have. You can lose it, in other words. So keep on taking the steps. Say it out loud. I'm a miracle step taker. Amen. That means I just keep on obeying. Just keep on obeying. Now, we've seen some good things. Many of you have seen some good things in your life. But I got good news for you. God's not done. He's not done. He's not done. He's not done. He said he wants to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think. Exceedingly, 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 exceedingly far, 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 far above, way over, way beyond all we could ask or even think. Woo! Hallelujah. But you stop obeying and taking steps, then really what you're doing is you're stopping the miracle power. People, whenever they stop, they're saying, oh, this is enough. This is enough. I'm happy. But let me ask you a question. Is God happy? Maybe you are, but maybe he's not. Well, you know, we're just at a place in life. Everything's great and everything. Well, how about, is it all about you?
No, it's not.
Huh? It's not all about us. There's more people. More people. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.